Next Talks connects professionals in the life science, medical device, and food industries with useful content like webinars, job openings, articles, and virtual meetings to help you succeed in your career. This Life Science Focus podcast brings together some of our editorial staff to share insights into the latest B2B industry news to keep you up to date.
Hello and welcome to the X-Talks Life Science Podcast. I'm Aisha Rashid, Senior Life Science Journalist at xtalks.com, and this week I'm joined by Sydney Perlmutter, Sarah Hand, and Vera Kovacevich. I'm also joined by a special guest today, Ms. Susan Benton, who is from Theia Pharmaceuticals, and we'll be talking to her more about the recent FDA approval of IUSA for the reduction of elevated intraocular pressure in patients with open-angle glaucoma or ocular hypertension. So Theia Pharma's product offering is comprised of a portfolio of seven leading eye care products that are regulated or approved by the FDA. And so the company's goal is to deliver uncompromising care that allows all stakeholders to envision the future of ophthalmic treatment with eyes wide open. And so to talk more about the recent FDA approval for IUSA and about all of the other great work happening at Theia Pharma, we'll be speaking to Susan Benton, who is the country manager at the company. Now, Susan Benton has more than 25 years of global commercial and business development experience in ophthalmic pharmaceuticals. She brings decades of experience in the pharmaceutical and biotechnology industries, particularly in ophthalmology, with direct responsibility for the launch and commercialization of more than 15 products over the course of her career. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Susan, I'd like to welcome you to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Susan, I'd like to start off by asking you why and how you decided to join Theia Pharma as country manager and head of the U.S. affiliate, and what are some of your responsibilities in this very important role?
Yeah, thank you. So I joined the company a little over 3 years ago in my current role as general manager and head of the U.S., and I really joined the company because of their values and their commitment to patients and to eye care professionals. So our parent, Laboratoire Theia, is a leading independent ophthalmic pharmaceutical company in Europe. And it was important to me at that time to find a company that had a great reputation for market leadership, which Theia does have. So the company is 100% dedicated and specialized in research and development and commercialization of ophthalmic products. And we have a broad range of products to serve the everyday needs of eye care professionals. And we sell and market these products through our subsidiaries or distributors in over 70 countries around the world. And the company is committed to advancing treatments for both unmet needs and underserved eye care needs for patients around the world. So it was really this focus on both patients and innovation and Theia's support of education and continuous learnings, which resonated with me when I was looking for my next opportunity and ultimately the reason why I joined the company. To bottom line it for you, ultimately, I'm responsible for delivering the top line, the sales top line and profit contribution for our parent organization, through the optimization of the resources that are provided to me, right? So budget and people, and that's really been my focus since I was hired to establish and to grow the business here in the U.S. more than 3 years ago. So the responsibilities themselves are both strategic and operational. When I first joined, I spent the first 3 to 6 months setting up our office in the Boston, Massachusetts area and assessing the product portfolio over in Europe to find the products that I thought could be the most competitive products here in the US. And from that, I built a business plan and a business strategy and case that the management team ultimately endorsed. for projects. And I use as one of the products. So 3 years ago, we started this journey and they endorsed the project. And here we are today with the product approval. So that's a little bit, but it does, my responsibilities, you know, beyond that, just cover the whole functional spectrum. It's a more of a general management type of role. So overseeing, you know, marketing, sales, all the administration for the corporate entity here, finance, legal, quality, supply chain, and regulatory.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that insight, and definitely a very comprehensive portfolio and a very comprehensive role that you're in, and very important. Susan, you mentioned that, you know, there are several or many unmet or underserved needs in the area. Could you touch on some of what those unmet needs are in ophthalmology currently?
Yeah, I think overall, if you take a look, retina is still one of those areas where there's a lot of unmet needs, white spaces, if you will, where we have no therapies. If you look at macular degeneration and geographic atrophy, also known as dry AMD, that's currently a disease state that is unserved, but people are making good progress. There are other companies out there making good progress in terms of first treatments that are coming out here. And in fact, I think there's an expected approval here in 2023 for that. So that'll be great for doctors and for patients. But specifically for glaucoma, you know, the drug that we just got approved, you know, it's a chronic condition. People have to take drops every day to manage their intraocular pressure and to reduce that intraocular pressure to slow the progression of the disease. So you know, in a chronic condition, it becomes tough to take your drug every day. So adherence and persistence on products suffers. And if you're not taking your drug, then you're not getting your treatment, and then the disease can advance. So really looking for other ways to deliver medication is another big area that's of unmet need and underserved for glaucoma patients. So sustained delivery is an area of focus for our company and many others as well, so that we can you know, increase the adherence and the persistence to medication, so that we can slow the disease or halt the disease, because glaucoma is a blinding disease.
All right. So, you know, TAEA is, of course, a driving force for preservative-free treatment in eye care, and really specializes in that area. So in your opinion, how is preservative-free eye treatment making an impact, and why is that so important? What are some of, I guess, the detriments or limitations or of having preservatives in eye care?
Yeah, you know, as you noted, Laboratoire TAEA is a leader in preservative-free drop delivery. We have our own proprietary bottle, which is a multi-dose preservative-free bottle called ABAC, which means without preservative. And TAEA is a pioneer in the development of this bottle, and it provides patients with both, you know, convenience and portability of a multi-dose bottle. Also, it eliminates the waste of those small single unit dose containers. And as you mentioned, right, so we have the added benefit of being free from preservatives, which is a big deal, because preservatives, when used over time, do have a deleterious effect on the ocular surface. So there's a lot of clinical evidence out there that shows that preservatives and eye drops cause ocular surface issues, both to the cornea and the conjunctiva, when they are used chronically, and how that manifests itself in a patient and what the patient experiences when they're using these preserved drops over a long period of time, or both. They experience pain and discomfort when you put the drop in the eye. Almost half the patients will report that. They also have this feeling of like a foreign body sensation, like when you get an eyelash in your eye, And then also dryness. So, and these symptoms really do have a real impact on patients' quality of life. So, and you know, more importantly, is patients, glaucoma patients themselves, more than 50% of them, in order to manage their pressure, have to be on more than one drop. So you can imagine if you've got more than one drop, you've got a second drop, and you have preservatives, this just further exacerbates these symptoms and these problems for these patients. So there's also a lot of evidence out there that shows that preservatives and ophthalmic medications actually impact surgical outcomes that can be jeopardized. So whether it's a cataract surgery or it's a glaucoma surgery, the preservatives and the drops can actually impact those visual outcomes for the patients. So, and just lastly, for patients like me who continue to wear contact lenses, a preservative eye drop can actually damage your contact lens and further exacerbate the symptoms of and discomfort and dryness, which are already associated with contact lens wear. So it's important to get the preservatives out. So I guess just in summary, by removing preservatives from eye drops, it advantages the patients with better tolerance and should result in, better compliance and medication adherence, potentially better surgical outcomes if they progress to surgery, and just less inflammation on the ocular surface overall, which helps with the dry eye situation.
Just going further on that, I'm wondering if you could speak to what challenges that commitment to preservative-free drops, what challenges that presents in developing new ophthalmic therapies.
Sure. Yeah. So, many of the current formulations that we use today to treat ophthalmic diseases and conditions do have preservatives in there. The main one is called benzalkonium chloride, BAK, and that's really in there to maintain and preserve sterility for the formulation in the bottle, right? But then it's creating all of these other issues. So in order to develop products without the preservatives, and the work that was done, for instance, just with our bottle itself, it does require extra rigor for the FDA, right, to show that this container and this device itself with our formulation in it is still going to be safe for use with patients, right? So there's extra work to be done from a development perspective to show that while the product and the bottle is in use with a patient, that you're going to maintain sterility, right? That you wouldn't be introducing any kind of microbes or microbial bacteria or viruses into the bottle, right? So you wouldn't want that to happen. So it's extra development work that needs to be done. And you also then have to, in your clinical studies, for instance, with IUSA, we had to compare our product with the preserved right, version of the product versus the non-preserved version to show that your drug has the same efficacy and safety as the preserved version, right? But then has the added benefit of not having the preservative in there. So you still have to do a clinical study, which we did, that shows you're getting the same efficacy and safety that the preserved drop is affording without the preservatives, right? So, so you would actually see within the safety data that there are advantages. And you can see that in our IUSA data as well, that there were improvements in some of the safety parameters with no preservative.
Interesting. Okay. And am I right in understanding that IUSA, is it currently on the market in Europe?
Yeah, it is. So, this was an exciting time for the Taya Group overall, because the product has been available for quite some time, since 2013. And in Europe. So the product is sold and marketed in Europe under the brand name Monoprost. So we're leveraging all those learnings and experience from Europe, with IUSA. So now that the product's approved here in the U.S., we are launching later this year. So you can expect us to launch into the market in Q3 of this year. So under the brand name IUSA.
And what does that process look like, taking a drug that's already approved in Europe and securing FDA approval and kind of dealing with those regulatory differences?
Yeah, so we had to do our own study. So there were studies done in Europe. And the good news is, because the product had been approved in Europe, you're able to leverage those data, right? And those studies and the safety and efficacy and the safety surveillance database for that product, along with having to do a clinical study in the US, which we did. So we conducted a clinical trial here in the US in more than 30 sites and more than 300 patients, and compared the product to the brand, the preserved brand, to demonstrate that a clinician could expect our product, IUSA, to have the same safety and efficacy as the preserved product, with the added benefit of not having the preservative. So you do have to do a study. We did file. Ours is a novel formulation, patent-protected novel formulation. We did have to file an NDA, which we did earlier this year in February, and then received our approval in December.
Great. And I think you've actually already answered our last question here, which was, when can eye care practitioners in the U.S. Expect to be introduced to IUSA? And that's in Q3, you said. So certainly they'll look out for that.
Yeah, our team here. So, building this business, right? So a year ago, we only had 6 employees. And, in your intro, you had mentioned about the acquisition of the Acorn product. So with the acquisition, we also hired a team of salespeople. So we've gone from 6 to 70 people in less than a year. And as we prepare for the launch for IUSA, we're continuing to build on the sales team. So we estimate hiring at least another 20 people. So the team by mid-year will be over 100 people, with most of them, focused on the sales and marketing efforts for IUSA in the field.
That's fantastic.
So you also kind of touched on this a little bit as well, but why is this approval a significant milestone for Taya?
Yeah, I think it's significant for a number of reasons. And I think the first one is that it is the first TAEA-led project, right? So from headquarters, because we collaborated very closely with headquarters, that culminated in this successful NDA submission and approval. So that's a big milestone for the company. We started the subsidiary 3 years ago. So to have our first drug approval in the U.S. was a significant milestone for our parent and for Laboratoire TAEA. I think it's also important because it expands our glaucoma offerings for patients and the number of preservative-free options that both patients and doctors will now have in the U.S. IUSA is joining 2 other brand products that we have, Xioptin, which is another preservative-free formulation of a prostaglandin analog, that prostaglandin analog is called Tafluprost. And then we also have Kosopt, a drug called Kosopt Preservative Free, which is, a preservative free formulation of a combination of dorzolamide and timolol for those patients whose intraocular pressure is not controlled by a single agent. So one of our main goals and one of the hallmarks for our company in Europe, and that we're looking to establish here, is really to grow these preservative-free options more widely and make them more accessible for patients, and also to make them more affordable. Those are big objectives for us. So with, you know, availability, solving the availability for preservative-free medication, you know, we would expect to see, you know, increased penetration and preference for preservative-free, you know, medications, and would expect to see that, grow in the U.S. as we've seen it around the world.
Susan, I just wanted to, you did mention that it's a prostaglandin analog I use, and so I just wanted to know a bit more about how prostaglandin analogs work to treat glaucoma.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, right? So all of the glaucoma medications that we have available today in the U.S. marketplace, they work either in one of two ways. They either prevent aqueous humor, just to make it simple, liquid in your eye, right, from being manufactured. So you have less aqueous humor. But in the case of prostaglandins, this actually works to increase outflow, right? So the prostaglandins work on the two different outflow mechanisms within the eye. So those are called, you actually have through the trabecular meshwork, which is one outflow mechanism, and then uveal scleral outflow is a second mechanism. So there's prostaglandin receptors on both of the trabecular meshwork and the Schlemm's canal, which when you use the drug, this opens up those channels to basically increase the aqueous flow out, and thereby reducing your intraocular pressure in the eye. And IUSA works the same way. So IUSA is a prostaglandin analog. It's latanoprost, which is the leading prostaglandin that is prescribed to patients who are newly diagnosed in not just the U.S., but on a global basis.
I actually have one other question here. Does Taya Pharma have any plans to expand into other ophthalmic indications? I'm thinking of potentially some rare diseases, or you mentioned some unmet needs specifically in retinal diseases, things like retinitis pigmentosa.
Yeah, so Taya does. So through a sister company that we have, Taya Open Innovation, we have done several deals now in the last 3 years, the team has, to expand beyond the anterior segment of the eye to the posterior segment of the eye to the retina. So, and obviously, I didn't touch upon it earlier, but a big unmet need, you mentioned one of those, are these inherited retinal diseases like retinitis pigmentosa. So we have done two different deals for two different technologies. One is actually a gene therapy program for retinitis pigmentosa. So that program, it's going to take years before we see the progress there. But the good news is we are seeing these gene therapies coming forward now. We've got a couple. We've got one in the eye with Spark Luxturna, and we have other companies now that are advancing into later stage development for the both rare diseases and, quite frankly, for some of the mainstream retina diseases like AMD, so age-related macular degeneration. So we've got a program in both areas. One is a siRNA approach, which is a molecular approach to treating age-related macular degeneration, and then we do have a gene therapy that we are pursuing for retinitis pigmentosa as well. So we do. We've got a couple of programs. Those are two that we've done in the last 3 years.
That's great. That's great to hear.
Yeah, that is definitely great to hear. And that was going to kind of be my wrapping up question in terms of what we can expect from Taya Pharma. And it seems like there's a lot in the pipeline. If there's anything else you want to share, Susan, that would be wonderful.
as
Yeah,
well.
I think what people can expect from us in the next couple of years is we're gonna continue to grow our business. We were opportunistic with the Acorn acquisition, which was very helpful in terms of accelerating our presence here in the U.S. and as we were waiting for our other projects to come forward. So we'll have the launch of IUSA. We also launched an OTC line of products, preservative-free eye drops, artificial tears, and as well as lid hygiene products earlier this year under the brand name IVISIA. Mm-hmm. And that's leveraging some of the leading technology coming out of Europe. So preservative-free for lid hygiene and for artificial tears, right? So that are used in first line when somebody has dry eye. So you're gonna see us continue to expand on both of those fronts on our OTC offerings as well as our prescription drug offerings here moving forward. So we'll be opportunistic and continue to look for other acquisition opportunities that make sense for us. While we continue to develop our, both our early stage and later stage pipeline. So we've got another glaucoma product that is in clinical studies here in the US now. So that'll be our next product and we expect to launch. It's a preservative-free version of bimatoprost. And when we conclude those studies, we'll file and we should have that in the market in the next few years.
Excellent. That's a great rundown of what Taya has in store for us in the next couple of years. And we'll be looking out for all of that and more for sure. So Susan, I'd like to thank you once again for being on the show today. It was very nice to have this conversation with you and to get, some very important insights into the field of ophthalmic treatment for diseases like glaucoma and all of the great work happening at Taya. So thank you so much for sharing all of that with us today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me and for allowing me to share the story. It's great.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, that's the end of this episode of the X-Talks Life Science Podcast. If you liked today's show, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Thanks, everyone, and see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the X-Talks Life Science Podcast. If you enjoyed our discussions today, please share the episode with your friends and colleagues, and be sure to subscribe in order to be notified when a new episode is released. To join in on the discussion, you can find X-Talks on social media, email podcast@xtalks.com, or comment on the articles directly. Links are in the show description. Take a moment to join our community at xtalks.com to get access to everything we have to offer, including webinars, job listings, virtual meetings, articles, and more. The views and opinions expressed in the podcast are those of the speakers sharing them. They should not be taken as professional advice and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position Honeycomb Worldwide. For further information, email us at podcast@xtalks.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.